You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're turning our attention to the budget discussion surrounding the public higher education institutions in New York City. And to help us make sense of the CUNY system and its needs, we're joined by James Davis, president of the Professional Staff Congress, which represents about 30,000 faculty and staff at the City University of New York and the CUNY Research Foundation as well. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you for having me.
So broadly speaking, how does the governor's proposed investments in the public higher education institutions in New York City compare to what you think are the needs of the CUNY system?
Well, the needs are enormous, and the fiscal 23 state budget was really promising in two ways. One, the CUNY system wound up in the enacted budget with about $240 million more in operating than the previous year. And that's a significant increase. And the second way, beyond the kind of material improvement of last cycle, was we have a governor who began talking about the role of public higher education in a different way from her predecessor. Her state of the state address in 2023, you know, was very overt about a plan to improve public higher education across SUNY and CUNY. She spoke about investing $1.5 billion in the two systems over 5 years. And that was really welcome change from the previous decade or so. This year's executive budget is not nearly as strong as the previous years, or frankly, nearly as strong as what is needed. The CUNY system has suffered for at least a decade, some would argue many decades, from underinvestment. We took a particularly tough hit in the period between the Great Recession and the pandemic. And then the pandemic has, in a way, deepened some of the structural issues because we had come to rely so heavily on student tuition that when enrollment declined and took a pretty hard hit during the pandemic, that's made it even more challenging. So we really are looking for the legislature to get together with the governor at this point and improve on where things were in late January with the executive budget, because one good budget year like we had last year is really not enough to climb up out of the hole that many years of underinvestment have placed us in.
Well, yeah, what are the consequences of the funding levels that we've seen, say, for the past decade, the last year excluded? Is it just that it impacts, say, the ability to have full-time staff? Or does it limit the amenities that you can provide for college students? What are the real-life implications?
It's across the board. I would start with the structure of our teaching workforce. The disinvestment in the university has meant that smaller budgets for CUNY have been balanced on the backs of students and, frankly, on the backs of adjunct faculty. So we are only able, right, to run our programs on the budgets that we have at CUNY because we have 11,000 plus adjunct faculty, and at this point about 6,900 full-time faculty. And only for that reason can the university afford to keep its doors open and keep its programs running, because those adjunct faculty are paid at such a lower wage and receive, you know, so much less in the way of job security and benefits. So, I mean, that's an enormous area in which the students at CUNY, you know, are deprived of the contact with job secure faculty who know from year to year whether they're going to be there, and students have continued engagement with them, which is not to say individual adjunct faculty are inferior, because they are not. But as a structure of the workforce, that is the way that the budget has primarily been balanced. It has also meant that work that could be done outside of classrooms by full-time employees has been shifted onto contingent appointments, whether it's college laboratory technicians that do all kinds of things in our departments. You know, increasingly that work has been shifted onto contingent appointments. Library appointments of all various kinds have been shifted onto contingent appointments, and it makes the workforce more flexible and less expensive for our employer. And the other thing is, just as you alluded to, student support services. So, you know, we have fewer academic advisors than we need. We have fewer mental health counselors than we need. We have fewer staff in many of the student-facing offices than we need. And as a result, the student experience is often very strained. And then we have facilities that, by and large, are not up to grade, and they're not in a state of good repair. And the university has struggled to hire, you know, all the staff that would actually be needed to keep up the facilities that we have, and struggle to make ends meet with the capital budgets that we get. So, incredible work continues to be done at this university, but largely because of the incredible goodwill and commitment of the faculty and staff that work here.
Well, for listeners just joining us, so you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about the budget for CUNY, and our guest is James Davis, president of the Professional Staff Congress, which represents faculty and staff in the CUNY system. So the governor's response to trying to create additional funding for the CUNY system, as well as the SUNY system, in part has been this idea of allowing CUNY schools to increase their tuition rates by up to 3% a year. On the SUNY side of things, the chancellor has argued that this is a way to create a new, reliable stream of funding, arguing that the fickleness of Albany policymakers shows how even if they promise additional funding, it can't be relied on. So this is a reliable source of funding. What do you think about the idea of, one, increasing tuition to help pay for the needs of the CUNY system, and two, the idea that this is kind of the only way to ensure a reliable stream of funding?
I actually don't think that it's reliable. So I want to come back to that point. But mm-hmm. I would say, as you know, CUNY was free for over a century up until the mid-1970s, and we think CUNY could be free again. This is a political question more so than, you know, fiscal. The state has made decisions over the years about moving tuition, and as a union, we disagree with that. But I think the reason for that is, not only do the students that we serve tend to come from low income or middle income families, and it sends exactly the wrong signal to those families and communities right now that we want to increase tuition coming out of a pandemic, which has suppressed enrollment. I think that's like a bad signal to send, to put the burden on students.
Are those low-income students the ones who pay the cost of this? Are there state programs, federal programs that essentially would keep them from paying the additional tuition costs?
Yeah, sure. Pell and TAP. I mean, TAP is one of the most generous, you know, funding programs in the country. But, you know, nevertheless, there's a quarter of our students who are, I think 65% of our students don't have to pay out of pocket for tuition. But, you know, there's 35% who do. And the question is really, you know, when you're looking at a student body of 240,000 students or something like that, why are we even saying to those 35%, you're going to have to continue to pay more? When we have a state, you know, where that's making political policy decisions about who to tax and where to direct public funding. So our belief is that public institutions should be funding. There's no reason, for example, why CUNY senior colleges need to rely for 41% of its operating funds on what is really private funding. It's tuition out of the pockets of students, or tuition reimbursements, right? But I think the other point is even more important, which is, you know, you mentioned about stability. You know, and a 3% tuition increase at CUNY is projected to generate $31 million for the senior colleges at CUNY and $7 million additional for the community colleges. Okay, so $38 million. Well, that's a big source of revenue as far as CUNY is concerned. But in the grand scheme of Albany, $38 million is like a rounding. And I just think it's problematic to say, well, we're going to shift a little bit more onto CUNY students. But here's why. Increased reliance on tuition is exactly what got us to this place we're in now, which is, as enrollment declines, I mean, there are going to be ebbs and flows in enrollment, and that has made CUNY more vulnerable to those vagaries of enrollment. So that now, as enrollment has decreased during the past couple of years of the pandemic, there's a real crisis in college budgets, because they have come to rely so heavily on students and tuition replacements for their revenue, as opposed to state operating dollars.
Well, then, when you think about where increased state funds could come from, whether it is for just higher investments in the CUNY operations or additional money for TAP or even just to make CUNY free. Are you agnostic about where the money would come from, or are there dedicated streams of revenue that you think should be tapped specifically for the purpose of ensuring access to higher ed and to ensure that we have a vibrant higher ed system?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important, I'm going to say agnostic, but I think the most important shift is to return to this idea that our public institutions should be publicly funded. And as we increasingly moved right towards shifting that financial burden onto individuals and families, we are essentially abandoning that commitment. In terms of where those funds should come from, one could look in a number of different places, but I know there are corporate tax proposals on the table this year. There are economic development subsidy projects that yield dividends that are much more questionable than the return on investment in public higher education, which consistently shows, if only from a financial point of view, the dollars that go into SUNY and CUNY come back to the state many times over.
And finally, what about this idea that there needs to be more oversight of how schools in the CUNY system are spending their money? Do you think that there is the potential to find waste in the system? I saw one of the speakers during the budget hearings noted the number, say, of associate deans that schools have. So could more be done on there to ensure that spending is done efficiently?
I think it's a red herring, to be honest. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there is no misplaced priorities in terms of the internal priorities of the CUNY system and where they decide to dedicate the funding. But I think that obscures the more fundamental problem, which really is the disinvestment over time. I mean, it's a problem, David, that the previous governor would approve labor contracts and then fail to put money into mandatory costs associated with those contracts, right? It's a problem that the discrepancy between the maximum TAP award and the tuition on these campuses, that delta increased tenfold over a decade. That had the effect of just draining out college budgets. So, you know, I can sit here and tell you that I think, you know, there don't need to be as many deans on this campus or that administration is overpaid at CUNY Central. I could say those things, but the fact of the matter is that when CUNY is now looking at the colleges and telling the colleges, you have to find $128 million in savings over fiscal 24, which is actually happening as we speak. They are saying, Brooklyn College, you need to find $9.4 million, right? City College, you need to find $12.2 million in savings, because they are anticipating, right, on top of the budget struggles of previous years, they are anticipating such a tough fiscal 24. That $128 million that they're trying to find is not going to be found through some efficiencies or, you know, the individual salary of an administrator that we may believe is overpaid.
Well, we've been speaking with James Davis. He is the president of the Professional Staff Congress, which represents faculty and staff in the CUNY system. James, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.